I want to bring on Robert because I want to talk about this whole thing. I just, like this past week, I spent $50. 2.9 ounces. I spent,
it's a little bit of a scam.
I spent $25 on 2.9. This is Dr. Fitness now. I spent $25 on something. I could probably get this stuff for free. You know? Probably you can get that.
If you,
but I all of a sudden, because this EWG report came out about sunscreens, then
why do you believe these people so much?
Well, that's why I called up Robert. I said, Robert, we need you on the show. We need to talk about sunscreens. He's the author of The Healthy Skeptic, and he also has a fantastic company, Everwell, where they provide information into doctors' offices, and go to them, check them out at everwell.com. Robert, welcome to the show.
Great to be back.
Now, Robert, what the hell's going on here? I know in your book there's a chapter devoted to sunscreens, and then all of a sudden I get this, all of a sudden the news, FDA is keeping information from the public. You know, the study's been out for, what, 10 years or so, a decade old, about if you put vitamin A, retinol palmitate, into these sunblocks, it accelerates the growth of skin tumors. So all of a sudden I read this and I'm like, uh-oh, something's up. Tell us a little bit more about this situation.
Well, the bottom line is that there are clearly shortcomings when it comes to the way that sunscreens are labeled and marketed. There's no question about that, and we can talk about that.
Now, is it like the Wild Wild West, this whole the copper tone banana boat? Is this like,
yes.
Can they do anything they want?
To a certain extent, yes, they can. And it has to do with a lack of FDA regulation as to what they can and cannot say. And so there are all kinds of labels that you find and claims on these products that are very misleading. So there's no question about that. But what I would say is this report you're talking about for the Environmental Working Group, I think, raises undue alarm. So it takes a situation which is already full of confusion and I think unnecessarily adds more confusion and concern to people.
Okay. So I think what it also did is it created this whole – the first thing it did is said, well, maybe I shouldn't wear sunscreen at all. If this stuff I'm buying, if they're saying – all the stuff that's readily available, Coppertone. Like, go in the store, Coppertone, Aveeno, Neutrogena, all these companies.
Don't you use olive oil? I thought that's what you used.
Me?
When you were younger.
No, I used the baby oil.
Baby oil.
Baby oil.
Yeah, I knew.
Yeah,
I thought olive oil has good, more omega fats.
But the thing is, it's got to smell like coconuts. For some reason, oil and coconut, it's got to be a coconut.
How about coconut
smell?
Oil? Another one of your favorites.
That's exactly. So, so I think what's happened to some people is like saying, maybe I shouldn't wear anything at all.
Right, and that's the wrong message to
get
from.
That's the wrong message.
That's definitely the wrong message. There are clear benefits that can be derived from sunscreen. The problem is that one of the big problems is that scientists now recognize there are two kinds of rays that are potentially harmful, UVA and UVB. The regulations that are in place right now with the way that sunscreens are labeled govern UVB rays. That's when you see the SPF, the sun protection factor. It refers to the amount of UVB rays. But when it comes to UVA, which also can be harmful, there are not regulations. And so you might see wording that says full spectrum protection. And you think, okay, well, I'm getting protection from everything. But that term is really meaningless as it stands now because there can be a tiny amount of UVA protection under the label UV or full spectrum protection. So the FDA is in the process of putting new regulations in place, but they've been working on this for 20 years. And so that's the concern.
So why does it take so long? Is it that complicated?
Yeah, it is complicated.
Is this like the oil situation? They need smart people trying to plug this hole up in the Gulf?
I hope not. I hope that
20 years to solve the sunscreen, Lee.
Well, it's the government isn't known for its efficiency.
They're right. Looking for consensus, but they say that they're very close, that the new regulations they put out preliminary regulations that are now open for comments, and they're supposed to publish the final regulations, they say, later this year. Meanwhile, though, that doesn't help me or you if we're going to the store trying to find
right.
What product to buy.
Well, so we should wait basically till next year to go out in the sun. Is that what you're saying?
So, okay.
Well, but if you do that, you might be missing out on your vitamin D, which is a whole other part of this, that you need some sun.
Right. You need something. Right. Exactly. We need to get out in the sun for vitamin D because what's known as the vitamin D deficiency, which is causing a lot of bad things as well. But let's get back to this whole thing about vitamin A that's infused into a lot of sunscreens and causing the acceleration of skin tumors. This information that came out, which is causing a lot of people to rethink what they're doing.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that information and how much of that is real and how much should we be concerned about with that?
Well, I think you should be concerned about this if you're a mouse. Specifically,
If you're a hairless mouse.
Right, because that's the research that was done on this. It's a preliminary study in hairless mice. And they found that in these hairless mice, that if they put this substance, which is a vitamin A derivative, which is, an, as you say, about 40% in many of the sunscreens,
right.
If they put this substance on their skin, they develop tumors more rapidly than the mice that did not have this substance. But as anybody who has any sort of follow science at all understands, there are plenty of things that turn out to be potentially dangerous in mice or rats or lab animals that do not pan out in humans. And so based on one study in mice, I think it's extremely premature to jump to the conclusion that these chemicals are harmful to people and we should go to great lengths to avoid them.
So the moral of this story is the follow-up study should come out with hairy mice. And let's see what hairy mice...
It's a progression.
Right, you know, right. We should see what this...
Probably another 15
years. What does vitamin A do to hairy mice? And then we can then go up a little bit to another one.
What mice are good kind of substitutes for humans in...
Well, it depends on the condition.
I like think that Mickey Mouse, how would he do? What do you do? Minnie Mouse?
I'm not sure if they've done experiments on Mickey and Minnie. They may have.
Because he looked pretty
and
tan.
And the problem with this stuff is we can't study this stuff on humans because...
Why not?
What are we going to do?
Come on, volunteer. You throw right. $50 and you get him to volunteer.
And measure to
the beach.
Measure to see
how hard is it?
Well, but you can do studies on human cells, of course, and that needs to be done. And then you can do epidemiological studies, meaning studies in people where you compare people who use certain sunscreen to people who didn't and look at them over time or have them recall what kinds of sunscreens they used and to see if certain people are more likely to develop tumors. Now, those kinds of studies are fraught with problems, but nevertheless, those provide better evidence than a mouse study as to whether there's a reason for concern.
I see. Now, the EWG, they look at a lot of different things. They look at – they don't even only look at sunscreens. They look at, you know, deodorants, all products people use and stuff like that. But they went through a whole series of things looking at what the additives that are in some of these products that are being sold. And they kind of rated them and said which ones, you know, and they only picked 39.
Right, and they pick so few for two reasons. Number one, because so many have this product you're talking about, this vitamin A derivative.
Right.
The second reason was that many have an SPF, that's the sun protection factor, of over 50. More and more products are being labeled as SPF of 60 or 70 or 100. And they concluded that this is misleading because people will have a false sense of security that they can stay in the sun a long time.
Right.
If you look at the number, a 30 is fine for most people, and a 30 actually blocks 97% of the sun's UVB rays. You'd think if you go to a 90, that's three times that.
Right.
But obviously, it's not. You go from 97% at 30 to about 99% if you get to 90. So there's very little extra protection when you go anything above a 30. And the concern is that people will, again, spend more time in the sun thinking they're more protected when they're really not.
Right. And also, Consumer Reports came out with their own list of sunscreens as well. They were a little bit different, but...
So what's the number one?
Well, the... Consumer Reports rated these four as the best, and again, they use different criteria because they weren't concerned about this vitamin A derivative or the 50 SPF. But they rated the Up and Up Sport Continuous by Target, Walgreens Sport Continuous SPF, which is a spray, Banana Boat Sport Performance SPF 30, and Aveeno Continuous Protection SPF 50. Interestingly, all of these were sprays, and again, the Environmental Working Group didn't like sprays because they said people could potentially inhale them.
Right.
And the dermatologists that were interviewed said that's kind of silly, that that's there's really a small risk from that.
So they don't work as good as, like, Benaca. Is that what you're saying?
Or olive oil.
Right.
So the main thing is you still need sunscreen. Don't go out there with anything. But one of the things that they also talked about, EWG report mentioned too as well, which I thought was which is a message that doesn't get out clearly, is that you should also cover up when you go out in the sun too. That's probably one of the best sunblocks out there. It's called clothing.
Yes.
You know?
That's a crucial point. And this is something that many people don't realize, and that is sunscreens have not been proven to protect against melanoma, which is the deadly kind of skin cancer. We always hear, wear sunscreen, protect yourself against skin cancer, but it's really surprising that there's not solid evidence. There is solid evidence that protects against squamous cell cancer, which is a less deadly form of skin cancer, but when it comes to melanoma, there's not the solid evidence. So just as you say, it's important to have sunscreen as one measure among several. I say it should be a second line of defense, and your first line of defense should be covering up. spending less time in the sun, getting in the shade, and not thinking that you can spend day after day basking in the sun and you'll be protected just because you're wearing sunscreen.
Yeah,
those because we don't know that for sure.
Right, we don't know that. And
and that's why you always wear a burqa, right, when you go to the beach?
Yeah, now I have problems with the clothing. Yeah. I'm
you're
outside.
You're not afraid of the sun. What's the sun? Come on. The sun? It's so far away.
Question for you about clothing. Do you think a black or white T-shirt provides more protection?
This is a trick question. It's got to be white.
It's got to be white. I say neither. They're the same.
It's the same.
It's a trick question.
The answer is black. A lot of people say white, but it's black because you think of curtains. That if you have darker curtains, heavier curtains, they're going to
absorb
right. And so a darker T-shirt, people will say often, well, I'm going to wear a lighter T-shirt, but a lighter T-shirt actually lets more sunlight through.
So those damn concert T-shirts, those are what you want to go with when you go out in the sun. That's what you want to wear.
Good tip.
A little scorpions, long sleeve scorpion shirt, huh? That's got to work.
AC/DC for you.
That's right. Wow, good stuff. And tell us a little bit about your book and tell us where people can find it too.
The book is The Healthy Skeptic, Cutting Through the Hype About Your Health. And in the book, I try to debunk a lot of common misperceptions about health. And I also look at where these claims are coming from, who's behind them, what their agendas are, and why they're trying to spin us and mislead us.
So what's EWG's agenda? Why are they so crazy?
That's an excellent question. Environmental Working Group is a consumer group. And they put out good information in many cases. I think they're not funded by industry, but they do have a bias in the sense they're very, as I would say, chemophobic. So they're very opposed to any kind of chemical. Now, in some cases, that's legitimate. But I think that when you look at their information, you have to assume that they're going to be on the edge in terms of being against any kind of chemical, even if there's very little evidence, even if the evidence is only in a hairless mouse that it's dangerous.
Right.
So that's really their bias is their very... anti-chemical and very anti-industry as
right.
well.
You want to call somebody right now to get their opinion, the EWG?
Let's get them on the show.
You go head-to-head, Robert, huh? You want
to
do that?
They look at everything. They look to see what's carcinogenic, tetrogenic. They look at all these different things.
They're alarmists.
What's an endocrine disruptor, things that might affect the endocrine system, hormonal levels and stuff.
And let me just add, I would say that if you want to be ultra-cautious, that's fine. They put out the information. If you can make your own decision, if you want to assume that these things are guilty until proven innocent, then you can follow their list.
Right.
But I think it really depends on the standard of proof that you want to apply when you're making purchases.
Well, here's what I'm going to do in the future from now on. I'm just going to call you. I don't need to look at studies anymore. Now that I met Robert,
exactly.
That's what
I recommend all the listeners do. Robert, what's your home number?
Everybody, your home number where we can get a hold of you. But this is the best resource. I can cut
exactly.
through all the crap.
Go to his website.
Just go to Robert Tavis.
Buy his book
and get the book, The Healthy Skeptic.
He doesn't have an agenda.
And get everything taken care of. The website's also everwell.com. Is that correct?
That is correct, and the book is available on Amazon.
Amazon, that's the best place to get it.
That is the best place to get it.
Robert, thank you. I wish I should have called you before I went out to the store and bought this. I spent $50. California baby. That's what I got.
California baby. What part of that?
I'll tell you what happened. Robert,
California baby.
I looked. No, there was like nine.
There must have been a hot girl on the package.
No, there wasn't.
Some brown hot girl, right? That's what it was.
It wasn't. I went to Target to see where some of these products
Target has the number one brand.
And there was a company called Think Baby or Think Sport that had them. So I ordered $50 worth of product from them. And then about 2 weeks later, they call me up or they email me saying, oh, we don't carry this product anymore. We don't have it. So. Right. I went looking for others. That was the easiest one to find. And, I'll tell you one thing though. You put on some of these sunscreens that the AWG report.
Yeah.
You can't get this stuff off.
Yeah, it's permanent.
This stuff stays on. This is like a tattoo. I put this stuff on. I went out in the sun. I'm like.
You're still wearing it.
First of all, I look like I'm from some island.
Right.
Like I'm wearing some, island cream or something. So anyway, Robert, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And we look forward to talking next month. When there's more crazy studies that come out and more things that we need to debunk, because it always comes out like this anyway. So thanks so much.
Look forward to it.
Great seeing you, bud. Check out Robert Tavis. Make sure you go online, everwell.com. Get his book, The Healthy Skeptic. It's a great book, and not because I have it and I read it.
Yes.
But there's just great information.
He has no agenda.
No agenda. And when you're
online,
we're still going through his books. Well, we have to go through the paperwork to see if anyone's given him any cash on the side, any payola on the side. I don't think so. He comes from the South. He can't be bought. Also, when you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone, the Partner Powers Program. Also, our book that's coming out, when is it coming out, Lee?
Very soon.
35 Ways to Raise Active Kids by Turner Publishing. It should be out any day. Robert,
we're tired of the fat kids.
Yeah, we don't need any more fat kids. We want to send out skinny kids from America all over the world. And make sure you check out some of our past interviews with Jillian Michaels, Rocco DeSpirito. Who else? Denise Austin.
Kathy Smith. Jack LaLanne.
Your buddy Mercury Morris.
Yes, who can forget him?
Yeah, that was great. So go to our website, check that out, drfitnessfatguy.com.